Welcome to the Two Broker Girls Real Estate Podcast. I'm Sandy Lynn Burnett.
And I am Erin Seymour. And so basically this podcast is here. We're going to continue to share some really valuable information for realtors.
The podcast is also realtors.
And it is good for buyers and sellers too. Anybody basically interested in anything that has to do with real estate. But I hope that realtors find it particularly beneficial and find value in what we do, because that's what we're trying to do. And we're also trying to prevent you from having to make the mistakes that we made.
Yeah.
Or just give you a lot of knowledge here.
Absolutely.
So our goal is basically to help everybody out and make sure that everybody has a good real estate experience on both ends.
And Erin's back from her sick week last week, and so we wanted to welcome Erin back. And frankly, the title of our episode and the whole topic about our episode came up because unfortunately, when Erin missed our previous episode on open houses, we were talking about what to talk about this time, and she was like, you know, I had a whole thing that I wanted to go into about safety for open houses. Realtor safety is a huge...
It is. It's something I'm really passionate about, actually. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to today's episode because it is all about realtor safety. Mm-hmm. And in doing research for this, I did research a couple weeks ago and then actually kind of looked at some stuff again today. The numbers are... I was actually really surprised by the statistics on this. I was really surprised by the numbers of that. Yeah. And so I'm really looking forward to today's podcast.
I am too. You know, you were kind of shocking me with some of the numbers. And I really, I guess, didn't respect how important... Like, of course I care about my safety as a human being. But I didn't realize basically what a target our profession is as an entirety, what an easy target we are, I guess.
Well, yeah, if you think about it, well, I have a whole little thing here. We're going to get into it.
Let's hear it. I've already done all the thinking about it.
And so while we're doing it, actually, while we're doing our podcast, again, if you have any questions, go ahead and feel free to reach out on our Facebook Live. We'll get to you while we're doing the show. We'll check in with Jay every now and then to see if there's any questions, or he'll make us aware of any. And so super excited about today's podcast, actually.
I am too. And I'm excited that it's a subject that you are so passionate about, because I'm excited to just like feed off of that energy, because I really care about safety in general, but you have like... got it down as far. I mean, can we talk about the scary thing that happened to you?
Like last year? But that wasn't work related. We definitely can.
But it could have totally been work
related. Okay. Well, that's life related. And so situationally wasn't that much different. Typically as a realtor, we work alone. You know, I work alone. If someone wants to see a house, this and this, we'd be smart about it. So, you know, you can get caught off guard. My situation, we'll get into that. I went out to dinner. It was after a closing. Treat myself to a nice dinner. Was by myself. Went to leave. There were some other people that I knew there. I don't go very many places where I don't run into someone that I know. I think a girlfriend of mine's dad was there. Some other people, whatever. But in going to leave, I had a person, my car doors automatically lock, so I was lucky, but I would have had a gentleman in my passenger seat and a gentleman in the seat directly behind me in my
previous
vehicle.
I wouldn't call him a gentleman, but.
Well, whatever.
They, basically, two dudes.
I'm not going to call him what I want to call him.
Two dudes tried to, at the same time, open your passenger door and then open the door behind you.
They were pulling hard enough on it that it actually moved my vehicle. So it scared me.
Yeah, that's super scary.
Then it pissed me off. So I turned around and looked at him, and the kid had like a hoodie on, and he had his hand in his hoodie, like maybe he was carrying or something. So I just went home at that point, but it did scare me, and I did call, I think, people after that point, because I did put like a whatever. It's what all this crime and stuff that's happening in certain areas. That wasn't one of the areas I've ever been nervous to go to.
It can happen.
I went to Duck City.
It can happen anywhere.
Yeah. And so. So we're talking about realtor safety, though. And so as realtors, surprisingly, like, people don't go, oh, that's a dangerous profession, right? No one thinks what we do is like a dangerous profession.
Yeah.
Well, so the numbers then are surprising because actually it is dangerous. And there's different reasons for why it is dangerous. And so I have this outline that I'm probably going to refer to here. And it requires agents to be alone with just random members of the public. We don't know. So we do have some things. We can have an app. I actually, if it's just like a cold call, someone wanting to, I go with my instincts. I did have another experience where someone was trying to get me to show them a house. It was just like just a cold someone calling me saying, hey, they wanted to buy a house, got their name, information, whatever information I could about them. Had a bad gut feeling and thought, I wish I had like a cane Corso or a pit bull instead of a little Maltese and he could go on these showings with me. Yeah. I don't have that.
Yeah.
So having that feeling and thinking like that made me look into it a little bit, did a background check. The person happened to be a two-time sex offender trying to get me to show him a house two blocks from where he actually lived.
Yeah.
So that person was referred to somebody else. And to this
day,
they
show up to that appointment?
Still haven't bought a house. Check on it every now and then to see if maybe that was whatever. That person still has not purchased a home. So that's the kind of danger that's out there. So I say trust your instincts. Because we are required. I mean, my job depends on real estate's 100% commission-based.
And these jerks know that. The ones that, that's why I said we are an easy target for predators. We're easy prey because they know that we will, like, oh, but I don't want to miss out on this amount of money.
Yeah,
like,
let go of that. Go with your instincts.
Be
and
rude,
anybody that's legitimate
alive.
Is not going to have a problem meeting you in an office. They're not going to have a problem coming in, sitting down with you, signing an agreement. It's not that urgent if they really want to purchase that home and they are a stranger to you. Don't put yourself at risk for that deal. There's a way to safeguard yourself. So we're going to get into realtor safety. That's what this is all about. So we're also taught, I mean, in sales, we want to be personable, kind, respectful, accommodating to a degree with our clients if around their work schedule to meet them at a property. So that's one of the things that puts us at risk. We have no control over where the property is. Okay. So in looking at the things that happen, a lot of the things that happen are not going to be happening in this neighborhood. They do happen in someone saying, hey, like, we live here, but they go, oh, I want to see this house out in this little rural area. They try to get you to a property away from.
Honestly, vacant listings are just such an easy target. They know a home isn't occupied. It's going to be super easy. It doesn't matter if it's day or night. Frankly, if I can get somebody, this is also, you know what, I'm a big fan of not having my time wasted. So beyond, you know, any actual safety dangers I may or may not come up against, I'm like, I need you to be getting pre-approved before I'm meeting you anywhere.
That qualifies them usually, and lets you know they're serious.
Well, usually that shows me they're serious. I mean, if I don't know you at all, I'm going to need you to be running your social security number through a lender so that I can be at least, like, somebody knows how to track you down if something happens to me. You know, to me, I'm like, that's easily going to avoid a bunch of hassle.
Okay, so when I'm looking at the things that are happening to agents, they're happening on things, a lot of them are things that you would go, well, they don't have any control over that. So we take as much control as we can and be as aware as we can of our situation when, and that disparagement, like, between having this much control and what we can control about the situation. So there's some things that you can do. And so we've discussed the fact that we have no control over where a property is. We don't get to choose what house the client wants to see us at. If it's vacant, whatever, they probably know that. If they're not, whatever. So it's our job to be diligent about kind of knowing what we know about as much as we can about our client and doing the stuff that you're talking about, getting them pre-approved or making sure they're pre-approved, this and this. We discussed the fact that agents work alone. We typically do work alone. I mean, I don't know anybody that's going to set aside their time to just be like, I'm going to, every time I have a showing, go hang out with me. No, it's my responsibility to kind of look out for myself. We're independent contractors. And it does put us in a vulnerable position. One of the other things that puts us in a vulnerable position is, like, say, open houses. Our properties that we do have, we do market them. We make videos of them. It shows that they're vacant. We have to announce that we're having it. We, for marketing purposes, we say, I'll be here Sunday from this time to this time, advertising our services.
I'll be all by myself.
Our marketing, ready for anything. And so I know. At first doing that for me was really counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. And I had to think about it and go, okay. And people that I know, I had a couple people say something to me like, are you taking precautions? Are you okay? What's going on with that? And I'm like, I'm fine. Without going into great
detail
with people.
But you did have a couple of creeps come and just hang out at your open.
I had someone actually show up at one of my opens in a very nice neighborhood on a mm-hmm. private drive or whatever. The gentleman showed up still in his pajamas and slippers. Mm-hmm. Which was?
Hung out, ate your food.
Hung out, ate the food. It was kind of bizarre. Asked that he had no interest in buying a home. And it was
Was weird because, like, you knew of him. It was almost weirder that it wasn't a stranger.
Yeah, it was kind of like, okay.
Like, come on.
So that was, but worse. You handle it. So when the stuff like that happens, I know we can laugh about it and stuff, but then you're aware, you go, okay. Mm-hmm. And so in that situation, we're going to get into some stuff where you say, situation, this is why we're at risk, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I went over all of them. We do work alone. We work with people that we do not know. I know nothing about you when you come into when you walk into an open. I don't know if you're carrying, I don't know what you're carrying. I know nothing about you. I have no right to do anything mm-hmm. about that. I just have a responsibility to take care of myself and foremost and the property that I'm showing.
And you and I were even talking about that we don't even care if you're alone or you're a couple. Like, you could be equally dangerous, you know.
Yeah, and you never know. Yeah. I mean, that's just the whole point. The idea of being aware of the fact that you never know. You know, I know some of my clients, mm-hmm. you know, and I get to know people over time. So we'll get into some of this stuff. So that I don't want to take too much time, but there are some numbers here that I did where it was saying, like, how often do people feel unsafe, right? And so there were some numbers that were saying people felt, where is it?
Okay. Is that what you gave to Jay?
Or, no. Oh, okay. So it's saying 9% of agents said that they had been attacked or threatened at work. This is in a year's time. And in those instances, 5% said that they had to use a gun to defend themselves, while 5% depend on their cell phone or a cell phone app for their protection. And so these numbers are from the National Association of Realtors, and it is the member safety report. So 33% of members said that they feared for their personal safety or the safety of their personal data at some point in the year. And that number for women is a little bit higher, slightly higher. It's 41% of females versus just overall realtors. And so if you think about it, at any point in your career, that number is pretty high. You know, for any profession, mm-hmm. actually. And so we're going to get to a statistic that I found particularly shocking. So according to the NAR survey, 40% of realtors said that they felt unsafe every few months or more. And only 5% of them said that they never felt personally unsafe. So that's only 5% said that they never felt unsafe. And so those numbers, so whether or not we talk about mm-hmm. it openly with other, you know, we hang out with realtors all the time. That's not the number one subject, this and this. And so I found that to be really interesting.
So I think that we've established that there's a big need for safety. And I think we should roll into, mm-hmm. you know, actual things that realtors can apply to.
Yeah, and so one of the other things that came to mind is when we're talking about this, the numbers of people that actually, so when you look at those numbers, and then the numbers that they're reporting for, and I understand some people might have their concealed carry and don't report mm-hmm. that they do or whatnot, but the ones that are saying that they actually do, so you have 40% or higher, 41% for females, saying that they have felt threatened or afraid, and they multiple times in a year within their career. Only 16% of licensed real estate agents have their concealed carry. So we can look at that one of two ways. And I have something to say about that because I do have my concealed carry. First time I ever fired a firearm, I was 9 years old. And my dad taught me a lot of respect and how to handle firearms. There were a lot of fear, respectful fear around them. I don't think people should just go get their concealed carry. I think that you should get the training necessary if you're going to get the, your concealed carry. I think that there are, we have, there's so many great options for someone to get the training in order to get your concealed carry, because you do have the right to protect yourself. And I just think that the number between 41% of people feeling afraid and only actually...
I disagree with you. I don't think that everybody should have their concealed carry.
I don't think everybody should.
Even if they're realtors and even if they feel afraid. Okay. So I don't training? Like, I don't like, no, because you need to be prepared to actually kill somebody. And somebody could have a gun all day long, have the training, have their concealed carry, but unless they're ready to pull that trigger and take somebody's life, they have no business having a gun on them. That is a personal decision that people need to make. That said, I'm very pro-gun. I mean, obviously, I was in the Marines. I carry. But that's my personal decision because if I am in fear for my life, I have no problem taking somebody else's life. But other people might not have it in them. They just can't. Possibly.
Well, yeah, that's not my decision to make.
But that's their decision. So I just don't like any statistics where it's like they feel afraid, but they don't have a concealed carry. I think that there's absolutely many other ways to
damage. We'll get into that. That's one of the things. I just thought that the numbers between the people that are actually feeling like that and the numbers that are people that are actually proactively trying to do something.
But there are things they can do about it that doesn't have to be carrying a gun.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. They're listed right here.
Listen, like, I just feel very passionate about this. If you are not willing to use your firearm to kill somebody,
you shouldn't have one.
You're going to get yourself hurt. You're going to get yourself killed. So I can't say that enough.
Okay. So there are a number of other things that you can do. Hopefully, I've never had to. I've had a firearm since I was 18. Never had to actually use it. Thank God. And so that being said, yeah, you should never pull your firearm unless you're ready to end somebody's life. So
yes, 100%.
But the so going into this. I kind of did jump into the concealed carry thing right away. So there's other things that you can do, and they suggest pepper spray and other things as well. So
I'm not a fan of pepper spray. I just think you're going to accidentally aim it the wrong way. You're going to screw yourself over. I would like, I mean, take this where we're going to take it because I'm like so high.
I can tell
on,
you're getting worked up.
Yeah, I want to like give actual tips right
so
now.
So one of the things that I want to say is the first thing that you want to do is trust your instincts. If something feels off, you don't need to be nice. You can just excuse yourself. You can do whatever you need to do. Just like it would have been nice for me to go meet that gentleman who wanted to see a house. If something in your gut and your instincts are saying something is wrong, pay attention to that. Act on that. Do whatever you need to do to make sure that you're safe, first and foremost. Okay, and so then there's certain things that you can do. Just like I said, when you're set the appointment, you can do a background check. There's apps for that. There's all kinds of things that you can do. If you don't know this person, you get a weird feeling, always make sure you know what you're walking into when you set an appointment with somebody and what to expect. And take someone with you and make sure that people are aware of where you are. When you are meeting with strangers all the time.
I recommend getting pre-approved because not only are you not going to be wasting your time with somebody that isn't serious, but now a lender has their information on file. And you're like, that's just to me a great way of, you know, without even doing a background check because anymore we as realtors can't start, which is, I'm not allowed to comment like this, but if you can believe it, we as realtors aren't allowed to discriminate on people that have criminal records.
Well, that's true. I don't think anybody.
So a background check ain't going to do shit.
I won't show anybody a house that it has, that isn't pre-approved. You won't get my time.
Yeah.
Unless you can give me, send me a pre-approval letter and you have my time now. Mm-hmm. So that one kind of takes care of itself, but that is a really good point. And so when you are meeting with them, there's things that you can do. So let's say it's a showing or an open house. Your parking situation is crucial. I don't ever park in a driveway. I don't suggest anybody ever park in a driveway where someone can park behind you or block you.
And you know what? That's safety, but it's also just like being a good realtor. It's like I save the driveway for my clients anyway, or I'm not just going to be pulling my pile into somebody's driveway of their own home. Like, I just don't feel right about it. I park on the street.
It could be four car widths wide, and I will still park.
I just think it's good for business and for safety.
I am... directly able to get out of that situation if need be. So that's just like a situational awareness thing. And so there's different things. So we see, like, I was watching, what is that damn, oh my God, I love that show so much. The one with Drew Barrymore, where they're showing houses and they'll walk in like someone's standing behind you. So if you're showing a house, you should get there before them. Don't ever open a door with someone standing behind you. Don't let anybody stand behind you for any reason. So I'm thinking cases.
I have people go in front of me. Like what I do, and it's just like we talked about with being personable. I'm like, oh, you already know what a kitchen looks like. You don't need me to tell you that. Like, I'll follow you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be like, for my safety, I need you to go in front of me. Like, you don't have to be rigid.
They don't even need to know that. Exactly. They don't even need to know just what you're doing.
Develop these habits. Yeah, we're basically
talking to you about what you can do. But and they don't need to, obviously, they don't need to know, and you don't need to make them aware of what you're doing. You're just going to do things to look out for yourself. I like to get to the house early. First of all, I know that they're not there. Go in, turn on the lights, do whatever I need to do. My vehicle's situated. Everything is as such. The lights are on, blinds are open. I can see everything that's going on there. That's one way to do it. Also, when I have open houses, and people can look at this, I don't care how many stories the house is, I don't leave the main floor. I always have access to the only entrance that's going to be unlocked is the main entrance. And I situate myself to where I can keep account of anybody that comes in the property. And by the end of it, I know that they have all left the property because houses have closets in the basement, this and that and the other. I don't leave the main floor. If they want to look at something upstairs or have questions about it, we can do that when we're done. If they really want to schedule a private showing, we can do something like that as well.
So, I wanted to comment on this. And once again, this is a show about two people that operate their business in two different ways. And the best part is you can get different perspectives and use whatever you want and throw away the other stuff. So I personally usually will leave the main floor of a home. And that's because I want to protect like my seller's belongings. I want to make sure shit's not getting swiped from a bedroom and things like that. I agree with you about the basement thing. And I just... honestly, like, all we can do at all is just trust our gut. You know, like, there's this, like, sweet little old lady that has a hard time walking. Of course, like, we're all going to, like, help her down to the basement so she can check on. Yeah,
you can always have somebody else at an open with you. Lenders like to do opens. Other realtors like to do opens. There's ways you can take somebody with you. I always have my cell phone on me. I do carry. And that being said, I do like to keep account on who's going in and out of the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
And they're not walking around like a bag, so I don't worry about them. I've never had anybody take anything from one of my clients' open houses, and I'm really thankful for that. I just like to keep account on
this. Can who's kind in of like we can also mix safety with good marketing and following up process, because this goes back to what we talked about last week with open houses. I don't ever have somebody physically sign in on a sheet of paper anymore. You know, half the time they're like, oh, great, scribble, scribble. And they can give you fake info or whatever the hell they want. Yeah. So now I have them, like, I will text you the flyer. What's your number? You know, I don't do paper flyers anymore. And now I begin to have a record of who is actually going in these open houses. Like, I'm not one of those hard asses that's like, let me see your photo ID. Like, that's bullshit. Like, I mean, realtors, they can do whatever they want and take it to that level. I personally don't, but.
Yeah, I don't either with that one. I think you're going to do what you feel is right. But those are some ideas of things that you can do to protect yourself. And there are apps that can protect yourself. And if depending on what type of phone you have, I know with my handy dandy iPhone, if I push this button 3 times, mm-hmm. it's going to call the police. It's going to send my location.
I totally accidentally did that the other day. I didn't even realize what I did. I was just like picking it up and moving it. And then all of a sudden it started boop, boop. And I'm like, oh my God.
Funny story. My mom got a security system and she thought she wanted a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
While we were at the Verizon store, I'm helping her get a smartphone. And that phone that she had just got rings, and it was the police. And they're like, did you call for help?
Yeah.
Like, no.
That happened when I was at the nail salon. Her, the gal doing my nails, her son was wearing her Apple Watch.
And he was messing with
it. And the police called her, and they're like, hey, you know, you called 911. Yeah.
So, and my idea on that is, like I said, I've been in situations that were kind of scary or this, that. I've never had to do that. So if I do, I know you have your opinion. I don't think everybody should get their concealed carry necessarily either. I think that if you are going to, I think that the training is essential. Going through as whatever training is necessary for you and for you to feel 100% comfortable with the idea of carrying. And to the extent that Sandy said, because that is basically where it's going to go. So I was going to talk about a couple of things that have happened.
Well, you know, I would like to, I know we're getting kind of like short on time.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to make sure that we get a chance to talk about mm-hmm. is what to do if somebody's attacked. Like what to do if you are attacked.
Okay.
Okay. So obviously I conceal carry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I conceal carry. And so it's going to be a bad day, you know, if I get attacked. But also, if I see, I know the gravity of taking somebody's life. So other things that I would like to suggest. Okay, so I've heard a bunch of stupid crap before where it's like ridiculous shit. Like, pee on yourself. Like, literally, that's what people are going around, like, advising people to do.
From the 1950s?
Okay. So here's my advice. If you're about to, if you're getting attacked,
mm-hmm.
my advice is to take your thumb and put it behind their eyeball. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. also, it would be, if your mouth is free, start biting chunks out of their skin. And also, hang on to them while they're trying to get away. Make sure to do a lot of damage. When you get up, if they're still down, stomp on their head.
Okay.
So I have practical advice, and honestly, like, I'm very passionate about it. Grab any weapon of opportunity, like jab your open house pen into their skin. I am all about doing everything you possibly can do
mm-hmm.
to, like, get them, like, basically hindered from attacking anybody ever again.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a gun or you're not going to use a gun, I just passionately feel very strongly about causing like as much physical harm as possible in the most gruesome ways possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get that. I love that, actually. I mean, I can't, everybody is physically has a different capability. So now we're going somewhere else where I've had the misfortune a couple of times in my life to actually have someone reach out and try to put their hands on me. And that's not something that if you're angry and coming at me, it's never going to be allowed. And I'm not even sure if it was my upbringing with my dad or my kids doing these training or everything. My dad had me in martial arts when I was little. I couldn't even tell you how I did it, but I took one person and had him by the throat, took another person mm-hmm. and just held them there.
Yeah.
Because I thought, no, and it was instinct. No, not everybody is going to respond. Some people are going to freeze. Some people are.
So maybe don't have a gun if you freeze.
No, no. Some people, everybody's going to react to something differently. You need to know yourself. You need to have training. When we're talking about this training, so I have reached out, and what I would like to organize for all realtors is a situational awareness self-defense class that will be at a later date that we'll do an event and do a fundraising event, because I think that with these numbers being what they are, I think it's really good for people to have some ability. You have to be able to defend yourself to your ability. Mm-hmm. That being said, Wanda's 94. Her going to show a house as a 94-year-old woman is not going to have the same capability to do what you're talking about, right? And she probably shouldn't be carrying.
She should be having an additional person with her.
Yeah, but you know, everybody's situation is different. So basically,
yeah, but what I'm saying is the whole point of realtor safety, I just wanted to make sure that they had practical things that they could use. And that, you know, the only solution isn't just to, like, pull out a gun and fire on somebody or whip out some mixed martial arts at them. Because
no.
The masses are not going to know what to do. So Sandy Burnett is telling you, like, literally bite chunks out of them, put your thumbs behind their eyeballs, and stomp on their skull as soon as you get up.
Do whatever you need to do to defend yourself. That being said, we did take I did take a self-defense class at the board.
Oh, my
and
God.
This is what you went to the same
group. I'm like,
so this guy is teaching the self-defense class. And he's telling people you can go ahead and let somebody duct tape you. And he actually duct taped. I mean, he tried to use me as a model, and I said, nah.
Yeah.
And he duct taped someone's wrist or had someone duct tape his and showed how easy it was to get out of duct tape. Under no circumstances should be realtors being taught that they should allow anyone to duct tape any part of their body. Another thing that he said was something about, get in front of them. I'm going to turn my back to him. One of his self-defense techniques was to turn my back to a gentleman and then jump up and hit him in the chin with my head. Why in the hell would I jump up into someone's arms?
And why would you ever turn your back?
That you took the same class. Yeah. And the other thing was, he said, do not go for the eyes, because I would have the same instinct. Do not go for the groin.
Do not go for the throat.
No, I almost asked him, are you a rapist?
Yeah, no shit. You're losing your penis if you come after me.
This thing you that right you're now. Using to teach this class, is this your rape kit?
Duck tape?
So the class gets done. And what he's selling is pepper mace.
Yeah.
Let's think of pepper mace for $25 each and some other crap. I don't even know what it was. Anyhow, so I think that we need actual training. I think we actually need some self-defense. I think we actually need some situational awareness. Don't ever let anybody duct tape you. Don't jump into anybody's arms. Definitely go for the eyes, throat, groin. Whatever. Yeah. So I have felt passionate about that.
Rip their collarbone out. Everything.
I have felt passionate about that since that class. I was so pissed.
It was a horrible class, and nobody should take one ounce of their advice.
And some of them had to pay for that class. And then they all lined up to pay $25 for thing of mace.
And we of course appreciate the classes that our board puts on, but I did submit feedback that was the most horrible
I did too
self-defense class I've ever been privy to. So
I did too.
I hope that guy doesn't
there were
get
people
any
that
money.
Were taking it very seriously
and that's what really bothered
out
us
his stuff, and I was like, okay, this is really dangerous actually.
So maybe read one case that you're passionate about before we wrap it up.
Well, I could read one that I'm passionate about. I mean, there's numerous ones. A lot of these ladies ended up buried in shallow graves on the same property to which they were showing. So
terrifying.
And we all are aware of the most recent one with the guy who bought a rape kit, had the woman, she had a question about the master bedroom. And he had bear mace, duct tape, rope. She had a firearm.
And he asked her to remove her wedding ring
Got her in the master bedroom, told her to remove her wedding ring, had her strip naked, which she didn't, must have not got always naked. He did bear mace her.
She's like, I don't have naked, but I do have this.
Yes. Well, after he bear maced her, she was able to use her concealed carry. She did shoot him. She did not get in trouble. Mm-hmm. But she probably would have ended up being like one of these ladies who ended up buried in a shallow grave. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, these stories are actually really disturbing. It's basically just stuff. It could be man or woman. They're trying to take your They could be trying to rob you. They could be trying to take your jewelry. Don't wear nice jewelry, watches, etc. when you're showing homes, because they could think that they could try to be robbing you for that. They could take your car.
Yeah, they have this idea that realtors are rich.
So idiots. We have one here where this person was shot dead in the home that he was showing. They got that guy right away. This person ended up being buried in the crawl space of the home. This person, she ended up getting kidnapped. I mean, there's numerous. I like the stories where even though she was bear maced, she was able to defend herself and get out of that situation. And
you know, like, even like if you are going to take a concealed carry class, you know, I have somebody that I would definitely recommend in the Quad Cities, so hit me up. But he taught practical things. And, you know, I have the type of gun where, you know, if I have a hard time getting it out of my purse, I know how to shoot through my purse. Like, don't ever let having, like, doing a perfect move the perfect way, you know, stump you on defending yourself. Shoot through your damn purse. Like, do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
Get ugly about it, because this is your life.
Yeah, and everybody's different. And so I, like, you carry in your purse. I have bags that have
I don't always carry in my purse. Aaron does not need to comment where I carry my gun.
No.
It's not always in my purse.
Yeah.
I'm saying so, if it is.
No, but there are different yeah.
There's some really awesome.
I know. There's some really awesome instructors out there. And so I strongly recommend even
take the tips that you know are going to work for you. If, like,
and for God's sakes, don't be shy to ask somebody to go with you. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to ask someone to go to an open with you, and always make sure that people know where you are. If you're going to go show a home, have somebody in your life that, whether it's just another realtor that you work with, or I don't know, not everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm single, but I let people know where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with our apps, like, I actually showing share time my and location stuff, people know. Yeah, exactly. So
with my daughter on just, my phone all the time.
I mean, just make sure that people know your whereabouts and what you're up to, who you're meeting, things like that.
Yep.
All right. Well,
I think that pretty much covered it.
I was able to say what I wanted to say and get it out there at least. And for me, like, hey, you guys, it might not be pretty. And, you know, I'm sure a bunch of, like, you know, internet jockeys are going to come back on me. But honestly, like, just do the ugliest shit you can think of to stay alive. My two cents.
Minus the peeing on people. That's like 50s. I think my mom said something like that to me when I was little. So
get a hold of us.
Yes. And so basically, I think that's it. That wraps it up for this one. But I want to say thank you for listening. And be sure to tune into iTunes. And we are now going to be live on Facebook every Tuesday at 2:30.
Central
Standard Time. And we
follow us, Two Broker Girls, on Facebook. You can friend me. I'm Sandy Burnett. Sandy with an I, right, guys? You can text Two Broker Girls, all one word, to 563-334-4983. My email is Sandy with an I at sandylynn1n.com. Aaron's info?
Yeah. And so I'm Erin Seymour, or Erin Seymour Realtor, brokered by EXP on Facebook. And my email is eseymour777@gmail.com. And you can text me or call me at 563-214-4312. And just, again, really appreciate everybody that has tuned in today and everybody that has subscribed and reviewed our podcast on iTunes. Thank you so much for all of that. And I hope you appreciated and enjoyed our podcast today. Thank you. That's what I want.